So as I was preparing for tonight, I just wanted to, just remind us of what Revelation 12, verse 11 says. And that is, you don't have to turn there, but if you want to take notes, you certainly can. It is the scripture of all time that I think is when you're having a bad day and you need a little bit of encouragement, go ahead and turn into the book of Revelation and read, because that's where we know the end of the story. And the end of the story is great. And one of the reasons why I like Revelation 12 is because it's talking about how the enemy gets cast away. But let's just go ahead and turn there. I can hear your pages, which I love. It's so fun. There's a little bit of context in that. If you just back up to verse 9 of chapter 12, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out of the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." And then here's verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." So that's why I wanted you guys to share your testimony, because we have accusations coming at us all day long, and so do your kids, that they're not good enough, or you're not good enough, or you're unworthy. And those things are true. We'll talk about that tonight. But the fact of the matter is, God loved you so much that he gave his one and only son so that you could spend eternity in his presence. So we have good things now, and we have good things then. We might have bad days, but really we can see so much of that washed over when we overcome by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. That's really how you get through those days. So I wanted to put up this picture, which I have to say was just my iPhone. So if you ever go traveling, just get your iPhone, because you can. It's all right. It's not the best, but it's a pretty good picture. That's the actual Colosseum. It's the main feature. You get into Rome and you cannot help but see it. It's like, there's the Colosseum. It's giant. It's just huge. But there's an interesting story, and there's the scripture that's in your book. I went ahead and had that, just kept it on there. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And it's from Romans 1, verse 7. The thing that's so neat about the Apostle Paul is the order in which he wrote. You know, he didn't just say peace. You know, we've got a lot of that in our era, in our culture. Ever since the 60s, probably something to do with LSD, people started saying, peace, man, peace. And the thing is, yeah, we can long for peace and we can yearn for peace and we need peace, but there's no peace without God. And for Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was ministering grace and peace. Those two things go hand in hand. And as a mom, it's such a good reminder for us, because you want peace in your home, but you're not going to smack it out of your kids. You know, you're not. You could wind up in jail if you're a smacker. You know, I'm just going to say, because we can't do that. You know, you have to have order. Families are meant to stay together. The Children's Services Division, they're, you know, in the end, they want the mom with their child. So that is the goal. But you can't be a mom who's losing your temper and pulling your hair out and all of that stuff. What happens is that's an indication that you really yourself need the grace of God. You have to accept the grace of Jesus in your life. We all have to. I have to. And Paul says in a different book, "I die daily to the things of the flesh." We have a flesh nature that we're going to fight with until heaven. The last exhale here, the first inhale there, that's when you've got your true freedom. Freedom from your human nature, freedom from emotional torment, our physical bodies that can hold us down. You fill in the blank. But the grace and peace that comes from Jesus, that's where it starts. And from there, then you can make your parenting plans, right? Then you can make your household plans, grace and peace. And that's what we see in the Apostle Paul. He had a heart towards service, and he wanted to serve the people, but he knew it was grace and peace first. And I just love that. That Colosseum has a funny story, and I I wish, and there might be a time when, actually, if you guys have your books, but you don't have to have your books, but if you do have your books, on this paper right here, it's page number one, even though it's like eight, but that's number one. This one right here that shows like a carving, it's kind of an intense carving, and it shows these people, and they're carrying what looks like a Hanukkah and a bunch of other stuff. So when we were on our trip, and this is part of why I wanted to put the picture of the Colosseum and also this, I wanted to tell you about this. It was just a really interesting and cool thing for me to watch Brett as a tour, like a tour, you know, he's a director of our tour, but you also have tour guides. So when we go to Israel, we have known our tour guide for a long time that we have there, and he's really, really scholastically just right there with all the sites that we're seeing, but he's also biblically accurate. And that is hard to find in Israel because a lot of times, if you get a tour guide, they're gonna most, by and large, they're gonna be Jewish because citizens, you have to be Jewish to be a citizen in Israel, so okay, whatever. But they have to go to school to get their tour guide license because they have to be historically really, really accurate. Because if they're not, they are not going to get tourists anymore. Because without the credibility, it gets all messed up. So Steve, we can always count on, okay, this is going to be really accurate. What was different about Italy and about in Rome was because of the Catholic influence. So you can tell that they're very, very proud of their, obviously, Vatican City. It's like the longest, you know, standing military of all time is the Vatican. It's its own city is in Vatican City. It's where the Pope lives, all that. So what's interesting, though, is the Colosseum, which they say Colosseum, and this picture that I showed you, their spin on it is very different. And Brett started detecting that. He started saying, whenever they're talking about slaves, I think they're actually meaning Jews. I think they're talking about the time when actually they went and took the captivity. The Jews were dispersed. It was a big deal. So on that page 8, where it shows the people carrying the Hanukkah, or the menorah, that's where the Arch of Titus is. And we have some of those pictures even in this book. This is actually the marble. And we just changed it so that you could put your name. But that is an actual picture off of the actual arch. And it says the Arch of Titus. So there's huge times in history where you see, wow, God was dealing with the people of Israel like when we didn't even know that they were being dealt with. You know what I mean? And so Brett caught on to the tour guide, and he finally said in the Colosseum, he stopped her and he said, so you keep saying slaves. Who built the Colosseum? Oh, well, those were the people that we had. Well, who were those people? They were slaves. So where did they come from? Oh, well, they came from, he kept asking questions and got them to actually acknowledge. The truth of the matter is the Colosseum was built by slaves, and they were Jewish slaves, and they were from Israel. So then over on page 8, the beginning part of this past week that you went through, when you see that, the reason why that was so amazing during our trip was because the Catholic spin, again, the lady was very, very sweet, but it was such a strong spin towards only their spin and not actually what was happening in the worldwide biblical view of things, that Brett, he finally just went up and said, I need your microphone. And we all had these things that are like this so that we could hear. And he said, okay, I just want you to understand this. This is, you have to see this. You have to see this. So on your guys' pages tonight, if you could just write diaspora on that page 8 and then look it up and review the things that Brett has talked about with the diaspora. He point blank told our whole tour, you need to understand what you're looking at. Yeah, it's great that we're in Rome. Yeah, it's great that there's, you know, sites and this and that. And yeah, it's great. But this is a promise of God that he would scatter the Jews. And that is the proof. And it's thousands of years old and it's etched in stone. And if we miss this, we're just skimming over what the actual intentionality is of God and his word and his promise to Israel and what that means and what it means even today. Because of the promise that God would lead them out of the Holy Land, that he would put them back into the Holy Land. He said, you're living it. And it was really, it was probably one of the highlights of the trip, just in terms of seeing, we need to be awake. We need to be awake to what God is doing. So now, fast forward to what we're doing tonight with the Romans Road. Why does all that matter? It's because you're getting ready to go into the section of the book of Romans that is going to be dealing with that topic. Why it mattered that the Jews had the oracle of God, what Paul says, this has been passed down to us, why that matters, and why really you should have known, and you should still know, and why the Gentiles being brought in was such a big deal. You're going to be right in that right now, this next couple of weeks, and then we're going to shoot off from there even more. But for tonight, the reason why it's so exciting is because as we go through and we just start, you know, taking in personal feedback from everyone who's here, how it's affecting your home, the fact that the blood of Jesus really does cover our sin, that we actually can go ahead and do what Jesus said when Jesus said in Matthew 5:25, agree with your adversary quickly. Do it. If the enemy is accusing you, agree with your enemy. Just agree. And tonight, you're going to see why it is that you can be free to agree with that. And it matters a lot in the connectivity that you have with your kids. It matters a lot in the world that they're growing up in. Even just a couple days ago, a sweet gal from our mom time group, you know, a young family member of hers, really struggling to be in a college class and be literally discriminated against for her Christian beliefs. The Romans Road and the study in the book of Romans, this is it. This is our worldview as Christians. And so for you to adhere to that, you got to understand what it is that we are believing. You know, we're believing in the blood of Christ. We're believing that Jesus came. We are actually believing that he was resurrected and that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no other name by him, you're not going to be saved except by Jesus. So we embrace those words. And then as a church, the book of Romans really gives us direction on how to actually march about day by day. Last week, we talked a little bit about this little page that was in the very, very intro, just in the very first section of the book. And it just goes through the problem of sin. You're going to go through that actual chapter this week in your book. And then the wages of sin and that it's death. The love of God, chapter 5. That God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the free gift of salvation that's offered, and then accepting that gift. So we're going to highlight some of that this evening as we go through some of these things. But I just wanted to kind of get you your roadmap from the book of Romans. I wanted you to understand, why did we choose the Colosseum, or Coliseum, as they say, with the Italian accent, beautiful. It's a story of heartache. The Jews, they'll say, you know, why does it always happen to the Jews? You guys have heard Brett say that story when he was on that plane going to Israel, and that was just another Godowitz for me, the warrior of the family. Usually, I will have his itinerary, like, to the minute. At that time, I wasn't traveling with him. The kids were little, and I just thought, well, you're just going to have to go and get exploded or whatever. I'm going to be the mom and I'll, you know, whatever. I mean, like, I am a worst case scenario person, all right? So there's no way I'm going over to the Atlantic, going to a place where at the time terrorism was really happening, and it was just, I wasn't excited about going there. No. I will take care of my children. Thank you. You go. So usually I had his itinerary down to the second. And I remember sweet Mindy Strauss, who at the time was heading up schedules and stuff. And she came to me and said, hey, do you want to have Brett's schedule? And we were working, there was a group of volunteers. We were all working to get this house ready, this old house that was on our old church property, for Tad and Marna, who were coming back from Vanuatu. So in my mind, I was like, nope, I'm painting, whatever. I just want to make sure that when he gets on the ground, that's when I'm going to, you know, tune into whatever he's doing. But nope, I think I'm okay. I don't need the schedule right now. I mean, I was covered in paint, you know, so, you know, I wasn't being callous or anything. I was just like, nope, I'm busy. That's okay. But thanks. That's so sweet, you know. Well, I'm really glad I didn't get that itinerary, because if I had gotten the itinerary, I probably would have died of a heart attack. And then my worst case scenario would have happened. My children would have not had a mother. So because what happened was, is I just went about my way and we were doing our thing and fixing up that little house, super excited for Tad and Marna to come back. Tad and Marna, by the way, is Judy's son and daughter-in-law and their kids, who have spent a huge chunk of their life being missionaries in Vanuatu. So that's who that is. I have to make sure and address this because I assume everyone knows and maybe you don't. So anyway, I get this call about 4 a.m. 4 a.m. is not my normal time for waking up. Okay, by now my kids are older, they're sleeping through the night, like 4 a.m, something's bad if 4 a.m.'s happening. So I answer the phone, hello, and he goes, I hear, hi, hon. So that's Brett, and I go, hi. Totally 4 a.m. What are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm in Cyprus. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, Cyprus, that's not Israel, that's, what are you doing in Greece? And he goes, well, we had a little, diversion. Oh, really? Why? He goes, well, why don't you turn on Fox News and find out? And so I turned on, and all across all the news was there was a bomb threat. This plane was diverted. There was a terrorist threat coming out of Germany. And then long story short, obviously, they all survived. But it was really nerve-wracking. I mean, for me, it was nerve-wracking. Okay, this is me worrying about it after Brett's already safe, okay? Brett, what does he do? He is comforting this sweet Jewish lady who literally is running around the airplane going, why does this always happen to the Jews? She was so upset. Brett's like, it's gonna be okay. Meanwhile, he gets out his camera and he's taking a picture of the F-15s that were escorting them that were loaded with bombs. And to this day, we still have the USA Today. It wasn't his picture. He's still kind of bummed he didn't. He was asked for his card, but he didn't get it over. He was like, no, I just can't because I'll lose history. But we have a picture of somebody else who made their $20 giving their card over to the reporters. And it's an F-15 outside of this window that, like, that's real, That was scary for me. But I still raised my kids. I didn't give up. You know what I mean? Like, oh, my husband's going over to these places and doing these things. And I think, oh, goodness, this is a lot. Oy vey, why does this always happen to Debbie, Oh, my goodness. Stress and stuff like that, it's so hard. But look at the scripture from Romans 1, verse 7. What's our calling? Our calling's to serve within our home. So grace and peace. Grace and peace. Grace and peace, no matter what. And in that situation, the Lord was very faithful, and the Lord did create a diversion for that airplane. Nobody else was going to take them. Nobody. Israel said, if you come into Israeli airspace, we will blow you out of the sky. So that was the threat. They needed somewhere to land. Cyprus took them. Do you know how glad I am that I did not ask, get the itinerary from Mindy that day? I'm so glad. It was totally the Holy Spirit. In your lives, day in and day out, if your kids are little, if you're helping people with raising kids, in your lives, day in, day out, just ask. If somebody asks you a question, check in with the Lord. He'll give you the answer. And you might not understand why, and it might not make sense. You might not get the 24-hour turnaround the way that I did in that situation where it was so completely obvious that that was the Holy Spirit saying, no, I think I'll pass. Thanks, though. And I keep painting, Grace and peace. He equips us to serve. So that's the big one that I want to make sure that you guys take home tonight. Is because, man, we want to serve. We want to get up there and we want to serve. Serve. We want to. But if it's in our own strength, we're going to fall flat. And we're going to wonder why. And a lot of times, it's those two words right there. Grace and peace, and in that order. So now we can move on past that. As you busted through Romans chapter 1 this last week, something that I briefly mentioned, but the intensity of it just can't even be ignored, and that is the radical hatred that Paul had for the church pre-Christ when he was Saul. It is amazing. If you switch over to Acts chapter 9, just flip over there for a second. The word is just so good, the way we have these insights, these biographies, these autobiographies in some cases of people. Right there in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. I mean, he was not having it. He, like a good Jew, honored the temple And the threat that the Christians were doing against the whole entire Jewish nation was extremely frustrating to him, to the point that he was so blinded. The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not commit murder. He was involved in conspiring to kill. That's how blinded we can get when we're way, way, way over emotional about something, right? He was protecting something that he really, really held dear. He hated Christians. He hated Christians. But what did God do? As you read through just a few verses after that, the Lord stops him as he's marching on and he's going to go his way. The Lord stops him and says, why are you persecuting me? And he doesn't say, why are you persecuting these people? The beauty of the way the Lord says that, he says, just in verse 4, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. I am Jesus. He's talking about his whole body, you know? And that's us. We're a part of the body of Christ. So translation into mom timehood, okay? We need to ask the Lord, how are we treating our kids? How are we treating our kids? If we have anger issues, if we have frustration, if we have things that we have held so dear, and we're, in a sense, persecuting our kids because our heads aren't straight as far as the order of grace and peace, if we have not had an interaction with the Lord, we have to get that straightened out. We really, really do. It's super, super important. And now more than ever, guys, because kids are getting swallowed up by the culture. So that's why the first week was pretty resolved in making sure that you, as moms, are doing what you need to do to make sure that your walk with the Lord is where it needs to be. Because only after that, does it make sense to even try to tackle some of the bigger frenzy situations that you can have going on in your house. It's with the Lord. Now, by God's grace, he transformed Paul. So that is a huge thing that I wanted to make sure and share with you. When we're sitting there and we're feeling those accusations from the enemy, never ever give up the fact that Paul was transformed completely. And Jesus did that. And if he did that for him, he can do that for you. And he can also do that for our kids. Maybe you have a child who is not interested in the things of God. Maybe you have a child who has just completely gone off the rails. That can make you feel so, it can give you such an overwhelming sense of failure inside your heart that it can be really, really hard. It can be very hard. And I know that even this week, I've had two or three women who have reached out saying, man, I've got a child who's struggling. This kiddo does not know like what their identity is. They don't know because they went off to a college or they're hearing it in school. They're hearing it from a teacher who's pushing it, you know, as early as middle school, in some cases, elementary school. We're hearing it more and more. If you've got someone who does not know Jesus spending 40 hours a week with your kids, there's a really strong likelihood that they're going to pick up on that person's ideology and theology. So we have a lot of non-Christians teaching a lot of Christian kids. And then Christian parents wonder, why does my Christian kid not think like a Christian? It's just math. 2 + 2 actually is 4. Biology is not really well accepted right now. Not normal biology. They're making it up as they go. But we have to be able to talk to each other about this. We have to. We have to. You need to be able to understand that the Titus 2 gals who, as promised, they have their cute little pink badges this week. At the end of the night, if you need help, if you've got a struggle, if you need prayer, I beg of you to go to them and ask. I beg you. Please go ask for help. Please ask for prayer. We don't want to lose our kids. And I think the Lord could give us all ways to help communicate with our kids truth. And that's what it is truth. Grace and peace, serving your family in that way, giving them truth. And I believe that God can make it so that you don't have to compromise your own faith in order to help your child come back to the Lord. So that may be a word for one of you or two of you or maybe several, but please take that in. It is not a representation of who that child is. That child, like Saul, is not done being transformed. And you need to go and ask a Titus 2 mom, who very likely has already experienced the pain that you're feeling in her own life by having her own children not walk with God. Okay, we've all been there. We've all been there where it's like, okay, this is a little bit dicey, but you know what? It's so good. We don't have to look to ourselves. We look to the Lord, and then he'll give us that strength and that encouragement. Be absolutely confident in God's ability to transform your kids. Concerning his son Jesus, in verse 4 of chapter 1 of the book of Romans, Paul says, declared to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness and the resurrection. And then he goes right into talking about obedience of faith. Mamas, have faith. That is a form of obedience. And you're going to see that throughout the book of Romans. Salvation comes by faith. Believing, faith, obedience through faith, and contrasting that against the Jewish law and all of those ordinances. And it's so simple. It's so simple. But it's the number one reason why people get so frustrated with the book of Romans. Because most people plug through. This is not just our generation. This is centuries of people going through the book of Romans. It's a frustrating book to people if they're coming at this book trying to figure out, okay, so how am I going to be saved? Okay, so how am I going to straighten out everything? Okay, so how am I actually going to make sense of everything? Okay, so what am I going to do to make sure that I can make sure that everything is going to be the way it's supposed to be? And that is not the answer you're going to get in the book of Romans. Paul, who was the most meticulous, he was set up to ready to go be the high priest. Okay, he was like learning from the most learned. And he got stopped in his tracks and everything changed. Everything changed. So now a person that at one point was so obedient to the law and having to make sure that everything was just such and so was like, none of it was relevant anymore because he realized everything's been fulfilled through Christ. And you can take that faith. Jesus said, as tiny as a mustard seed, faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. I believe that by being in the Word and by asking Jesus to be in our hearts and to be a part of our life, we receive grace and peace. And we can watch him break down those mountains in our life too. And sometimes those mountains are the big stumbling communication blocks between you and your kids. And we've got to break that stuff down, you know? So I urge you to be, like I said before, absolutely confident in God's ability, not our own. That's the beauty of the book of Romans. It is not our ability. It is absolutely God's fulfillment and ability that does it all. And what have we received? We've received grace in exchange for believing. And among our homes, what that looks like, that's our nation. You know, as Paul's talking about the nation, your home is your little nation. Our church, this is our tribe. These things that Paul is talking about, we can make direct application into our everyday life and really enjoy as we go just the process of being saved and what it is to be called and what it really means to be called beloved. That's a beautiful word, and it's only for us as Christians. I know it got ripped off yesterday with Valentine's Day, but it's our word. Beloved is our word, and it's our word from God to us. It's a divine word. It's a specific title to you as a Christian. You are beloved. That's your title. If I was ever going to get a tattoo, I think that would be a cool one because it's last for all time. It's your name no matter who you are. It's You are beloved. You're beloved. Besides, Jesus is going to come. He's going to have a tattoo on his thigh, right? So I'm not saying I endorse it, but I'm saying, you know, what? If you want one, you know, fine. You're just being like Jesus. So, okay. Brett always talks about, though, just beware of the saggy skin issue because that can happen, too. Over time, it might look like that. Might be like, might turn into a different word. So we're just going to be careful. Okay. So, but here's the part when I was going to talk to you about when I was reading the parchment. I don't know what it was that hit me, but just right there in verse 8, when Paul says, I thank God for you. I don't know why. I just cried. And Jess and I are the ones that put this together. I was like, it's not like I didn't know I was going to read that. You know what I mean? Like I read it already a lot. There's something about that, though, just thinking the preciousness of someone who cares for you saying, I'm thankful for you. And I pray for you. And we need that. We all need that as women, as wives, as people. We need to be reminded that God, he appreciates us. And we know that because Paul is speaking it out for us. So that might be a word for someone too. And I just want you to know that you know, I'm a blubberhead. I blubbed last week, so I just almost blubbed now. But, you know, it means something to me. So there you go. That's the way it is. So share our faith with others. It's a blessing. Share with people that you're thankful for them. That's a blessing. You know, share with people that you pray with them. It's a blessing. Tell your kids that you're thankful for them. Let your kids know that you love them and that you pray for them. That's a part of delivering grace and peace to your family. Mommy is thankful for you. Mommy appreciates you. And mommy prays for you. Do you know that? Mommy prays for you. And when they get a little bit older, it'll be mom or whatever their name is for you. Hopefully nice, you know. But I mean, you know, ma, whatever. People have different names. Things, you know, kids get funny. Let them be funny. Let them know you are thankful for them. You love them. You appreciate them. It's sweet. And they're beloved. And tell them, do you know your name is beloved? Do you know that's a special name for us? We're beloved. Because you see, when kids know how much they're loved, that hole in their heart gets a whole lot smaller because it's filled with Jesus and it's filled with the love from you guys. And God's equipped you to be able to do that. It's just something to think about, maybe take notes about, maybe pray about. For sure, Paul talks about being a debtor. He was a debtor to the Jews and to the Greeks. He grew up in a time where he knew Greek. And he was so smart, like I said before. He had the task of making one church. Making one church. And that's your task in your home, is to create unity. Unity in the body. And that you part, people always say, pray for peace and world peace and all this stuff. It starts in the home. It starts in the home. Teach your kids early to be quick to forgive. For them to be in debt by nothing except loving one another. To help them really understand, okay, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. So do that for your brother or do that for your sister. And be free with reminding them often that that's their calling as a kid. What are you to be? I'm to be kind. I'm to be tender-hearted. See, you teach your kids that stuff early, they're not going to have a wrestling issue. Like, a dude's not going to grow up and think he's gay because he's tender-hearted. Not if his mom's teaching him that. We've got all these identity things going on right now because there has been such over-adulation of and idolization of masculinity and what femininity looks like and who can be the toughest and who can do all that. Forget about it. What does Jesus say? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son to die for us. That is the ultimate tender heart. It's the ultimate hero. You know, kids are super into superheroes right now, really into superheroes. Everything's about the superhero. The number one hero in their life should be Jesus. And you're the one who can communicate that better than anyone else. You actually are the one who's equipped. Paul was equipped in his time to teach the Jews and the Gentiles how to be one church. You are equipped to be in your family with your kids that are in your life. They're your sphere of influence. And you could do it. You can do it. And again, going back to the accusations, if you feel like you cannot do it for some reason, but what do you overcome by? The blood of the Lamb, right? And the word of your testimony. And you just wash that slate clean. You wash it clean. And you say, yes, this was this problem. Yes, I have talked to the Lord about it. I am forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. I'm moving on. And you could do that. You could teach your kids to do the same thing every day. They get a fresh start every day. What did Paul say? He said, to not be ashamed of the gospel, that to know the truth And I say to you to live it out as best as you can. Live it out every day and then let God do the rest. You believe and you let God do the rest. And then he'll show you each day. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So if your kids feel a lack, you can tell them, no, that is not what Jesus says. This salvation is for you too. It's to everyone who believes. And you can communicate life to your kids, and it's a wonderful thing. And the just shall live by faith. And a little bit of coffee. I know that's what our mugs say. And a little bit of coffee. So yeah, we're just goofing around on that. But the just shall live by faith. And what does Paul say? We go from faith to faith. We go from faith to faith. We get a little bit of stronger. We go 1 mile at a time, faith to faith. So that's the honey part, right? That's the honey of last week. That's the honey. Now we're gonna go a little bit deeper. Now we're gonna talk about the wrath of God. Not my favorite topic, and yet it is my favorite topic because I think that when we're honest about Scripture and we're honest about what God says about Scripture and we handle it wisely, I think it really, really helps you to help your kids make sense of such a broken world. We have a completely wrecked world. Now, when you get to this part of Scripture where it's gonna talk about the wrath of God, you're gonna see a section of Scripture that we're gonna read tonight, and then throughout the week, you're gonna get to another section in chapter 3 that's gonna be another list as well. So we're just gonna review this contextually, what this is like. Not that there's there might actually be one attorney that said she was gonna be here. Okay, so in the court of law, right, what happens if someone has broken a rule or they've committed a crime, they get indicted, right? There's a process in our current justice system, which I know things have changed since our country was first founded, but you're supposed to have representation when you go to court, okay? And you're entitled to that. That's why there's district of attorney and whatnot. Your attorney presents in front of the judge. This is the list, this is what happened. Your Honor, and you move for whatever it is, all right? Now, as Christians, what you have to understand is this list that we're gonna go over is hard. It's ugly and it's really terrible. But the beautiful thing about it that I really, really want you to just keep on remembering, first of all, grace and peace, like we have on our screen, grace and peace has been delivered to us, and it is the just shall live by faith, all right? So as we're going through this list, it's gonna feel hard and it's gonna feel heavy, but I want you to think about things. I want you to try to think about two different things. Number one, are you guilty of anything on this list? Number two, has anyone offended you by performing any of these things on this list? And then number three, I'm not even gonna say if, but where on the list do your kids fit in, right? If we can have clear vision in terms of what the list is and the wrath of God and why we actually are deserving of that, if we can have really super clear vision on that, then it makes a whole lot of sense why there needs to be order in the home, why God actually would desire that there be discipline in the home, and also why it becomes so evident and so clear that if you make a rule and someone breaks a rule, it's evidence that they need either a consequence or pardoning, okay? Now to the Christian, the wrath of God was delivered. It was served. The sentence was fully served. It was served to Christ, all right? We've been pardoned. So let's go ahead and dig in a little bit. Let's go ahead and look at, just in chapter 1, starting at verse 20, for the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It just means that we're without defense as a people. Now also, as we have seen, you know, our society kind of blow up about just with so many things, but just in terms of just the nature of reform that's needed in our country, we need to be really careful as moms that you kind of have a grip on this, all right? If you're an auntie in here tonight, you need to have a grip on what's going on.
our actual justice system is supposed to look like this, where justice was served and it was served by Christ. And because of that, there's order in society when we follow the Ten Commandments, for instance, right? Because it's really nice to not have your stuff stolen, right? And it's also really super nice to not have people, you know, lying about you. That's why we have defamation lawsuits, stuff like that, right? When we go through this list, again, let's just see, because no one can say that they're a victim when you look at this list. So let's just read it through. So that they're without excuse. Verse 20 and 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and in their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now we transition to idol worship of the day. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the word, the truth of God, into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, and even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as God did not like to retain, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate or perverse mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, and thou that judgest doest the same things. And then it goes on. That section of scripture is just helping us blow apart any idea that we have anything natural within us that is intrinsically good. We are not born basically good. We are born super prone to this kind of stuff. And that's why Paul lays that out. And this week in chapter 2 and chapter 3, you're going to see an even clearer definition in terms of our human nature and all that that entails. And so, as a mom, that's why you don't have to be shocked if there's a disorder sometimes. See, it's not that there's going to be perfect order all the time. It's that it's usually going to be filled with disorder, and then that's why you get the beautiful job of creating the plan and making order in your home. It's all about your expectation. And when you go through the book of Romans, you kind of go, wow, I'm sort of leveled here. I'm sort of like, there's nothing good about any of this. So that's then what makes, see, it's all about worst case scenario. Guys, that's why it works with me, all right? Like, no, I don't need the itinerary for the plane. I mean, sometimes the plane does actually get taken over by terrorists. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, hey, you know, but it's human nature. It's human nature. We are lucky to have a good day. And when you read through the list, and as you continue for the rest of the week, it's good. It is good because you understand we are so guilty as a society that it is not even actually funny. We so need pardoning, and we have it in Jesus. And so for you to understand and receiving the grace of God and having peace with that, then you can serve your family, and it becomes a beautiful experience of being a mom. And it's no more drudgery, and it's no more, you know, it's the task and all of that is not just this big letdown, because you're not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, including your little ones from a young, young age. Avoiding the wrath of God is awesome. And it is something that we all need to acknowledge we deserve. the wrath of God. To me, it's the most cleansing thing to think about the deepest, worst things that have happened to young children in our world today. You know, I don't want to go there, but I mean, there's a lot happening that's bad. And I think, oh, well, that's why there's hell. I mean, that's why there was a penalty, because there's sin in this world. And children really are being taken advantage of. And women have been taken advantage of. Men have been taken advantage of. We read the list: backbiters, slanderers, liars, all kinds of wicked behavior. It's not just us in this room, it's the whole entire world. We stand before a judge and we are actually found guilty, except for Christ, who then has intervened on our behalf. And then we're declared not guilty. And we're not given a death penalty anymore. And it's really, really, really great. So the wrath revealed from heaven, he is righteous. God has shown this to us, the creation and the entire world. As you read this week, you'll see it is not just humanity. It's literally the entire world can see that we are actually without excuse. Everything from vain imaginations, our foolish hearts becoming darkened because we want to believe a lie. That's probably my next big thing that I want to really encourage you to, the reasons to be strong as a mom in terms of going against the flow of what secular society says, is because we do our kids a disservice if we allow them to believe a lie. Believing a lie literally can get you killed. You know, people do things that they think are okay because peer pressure got them to think, oh, it would be okay if I drank this and this, and then go in the car with my friends. I mean, my father-in-law had a whole group of friends who all died because they went drinking and went driving. He happened to not be in the car. All of his friends died. That is a group of kids who believed a lie that you could get away with it. And there was a penalty. I know another gal that was, her family was really well known. I'm sure Judy knows this family. She was down in Southern Oregon, and same thing, you know, just friends drinking, and she was in the car and they got in an accident and one of the kids got killed and she became paralyzed. And she, to this day, will say that was a consequence. That was a huge consequence for believing a lie. So it's not just the littles. It's as kids grow and then as they become adults, as we intervene and help kids have the right view of themselves, what their standing should be, which was, you know, we have inherited sin, but thanks be to God, we can break that because of the blood of Jesus. And it's a good, good, good thing to teach your kids. See, after that, it's so awesome because like Brett shared on Wednesday, and this is where I call it a station break, but just for us to just go back to, okay, what actually is though? So we've got this list that makes us understand, oh, we there's some bad problems with humanity. Oh, yes, there is. And also we've got a little bit later where around verse 15 or so, Paul talks about the awareness that's within us, our conscience. And Brett talks about that being a knower, right? He talks about that. So, well, my pages got all ran out, so I don't know where my little thing is I was going to tell you guys. Here it is. This is the reminders from Brett from Wednesday. So if you were listening on Wednesday, Brett talked about three things. First of all, John 3:16, that God loves you and he loves your kids. And then the second reminder is 2 Peter 3:9, that God doesn't want anyone to perish. So as you're reading through this whole week, and if you want to write these three scriptures, there's one more coming. So John 3:16, 1 Peter 3, verse 9, and then Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And that one says, the promise of salvation is for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Those are three really, really important ones to know. I'll just go through them again so that you know. So John 3:16, that's the classic. And you can, I mean, really having your kids memorize that as soon as possible. Go home tonight and start. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish. All the stuff that we read tonight and the things you're going to read about this week, we do not have to have that if we believe in Jesus. 1 Peter 3:9 is God wills that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So just believe that. Like, his heart is for us to turn the direction that we're going in and to follow him. And then Acts 2, verse 29, the promise of salvation is for everyone who believes in the Lord. So when you see contention, when you see disobedience towards the truth, when you see unrighteousness in your home, don't lose hope. Remember how powerful God is to be able to transform someone like the Apostle Paul, someone who hated, who literally had hate and murder in his heart, and then to see how used, incredibly used by God he has been. When you see and start reading a little bit more into the scriptures and you see, wow, the plan for the Jewish people, God's plan in the Bible is incredible. And you're going to see some evidence of that in the photography in the book. You know, we wanted to make sure and drop those things in so that you could really see, like, this is serious. This applies to us today. It applies to the Jewish people today. And it applies for eternity, what his plan is for all of us. It's good. We have good news. And we don't have to be ashamed of it. And I'm super excited for you to go on to the next week, this week, and then also be sharing these little nuggets with your kids and those people in your life who need it. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for the message of salvation. I thank you, Lord, that in spite of us not having even one bit of earning this, you have offered it to us. It is truly by grace that we are saved. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you did use the Apostle Paul to write out the book of Romans, and we thank you that it's printed out for us today. We're so thankful that we can read it, that we can study, that we can read even different versions, whether they're on our phone or whether we have them at home. We're just so fortunate, Lord, in this time, in this day that we live, that we have truth that we can pass to our children and to our family members. So give us the words to say, give us the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be sensitive to that. Help us, Lord, to have just that timing of understanding how to share with our children, how to share with our family members, the urgency and yet the peace that comes from salvation and from knowing you, Lord. I just pray for each woman here and each family that they represent, Lord, that you would just bless them, keep them, strengthen them, protect them, remind them of just how beloved they are. And I thank you for the rest of this evening, for the fellowship and prayer. I thank you for the yummy desserts and the work that went into making those amazing things. And I pray that you would just bless the rest of the evening now in Jesus' name. Amen.